The T-Rex Job, Part 2 of the Thieves and Wizards series, written by Bessemer Process, and read by Tiny Pink Mouse. Part 1. Alec Hardison hasn't been back in Chicago since the last time Harry Dresden asked him a favor. This time, he's here with the whole team, doing a solid for a friend of Elliot's. Or at least, that's why he was in Chicago. Nothing explains the fact that he's standing in the Field Museum at midnight with Parker, Harry and Molly staring at T-Rex bones in the murky light provided by their flashlights. "Sue," Parker says, like she can hear what he's thinking. Her name is Sue. Parker, it seems, has bonded with the dinosaur skeleton. In retrospect, Hardison is not at all surprised. "You really brought her back to life?" Parker asks Harry, her eyes never leaving Sue and her flesh-rending teeth. Molly is the one who told Parker the story of Harry's death-defying T-Rex ride. It's a highly edited version from the one Hardison had heard from Harry himself, but that didn't stop Parker from being intrigued. "She wasn't alive. Not really," Harry explains. "Alive enough to attract its spirit and make us spend the night in a museum haunted by the ghost of a T-Rex," Molly says under her breath. "Her," Parker says, "not it, her." Either way, there's a seven-ton Tyrannosaurus Rex ghost who seems to delight in scaring the Dawsons, and we need to send it, her, back to where she belongs, Harry says. "She belongs in one piece," Parker says. "She has explained twice already that Sue's skull is in Treel, that the real skull is upstairs on display, but Hardison doesn't understand why it bothers her so much." "She's happy here, Parker," Harry says. "It's been an interesting working relationship," Hardison admits. But Harry's been willing to make allowances for Parker ever since Mouse rolled over and let Parker rub his belly. "You're sure?" she asks. "It's her home now. She would never have come back here if it wasn't. Even with all my power, I couldn't have put her back anywhere but her home," Harry says. "So why is she eating the Dawsons?" Molly smiles. "They must look tasty." "Oh, okay," says Parker, clearly considering the concept. "Let's get to it," Hardison says before they can get off track again. Hardison and Parker's part in tonight's activities had mostly been in the prep work. To set the ghost to rest, Harry needs one of Sue's bones. And getting that bone, without setting off every alarm in the museum, is their job. "Ready?" Parker asks. Hardison checks his cell one last time and then responds, "Ready." The T-Rex Job, Part 2. Parker climbs over the guardrail into the exhibit. This is the tricky part. Harry needs one of Sue's bones for the magic to work. Any bone will do. So after a great deal of consideration, and promises from Harry that the bone won't be destroyed, they'd selected one of the small bones in Sue's foot. It's meticulous work. They don't want the whole skeleton to come crashing down around them. Hardison holds his breath. Even with all the magic and the skill available to them, he's not sure there won't be a domino effect. Finally, Parker holds up the bone. "Got it." Parker hands the tiny bone to Harry, who wraps it in a handkerchief, and then motions them back away from the dinosaur. Once they are standing next to Molly, Harry draws a circle around the three of them. "Stay in the circle, no matter what," Harry says. "No matter what, Molly." Molly nods. "Will do." She takes her guard duty very seriously, Hardison can tell. After that, things get blurry. Harry is chanting, and it's like a miniature tornado is tearing its way through the museum, wind wiping at Harry's coat while completely ignoring them in their safe little circle. Hardison can't see exactly what's going on, but he hopes that whatever Harry is doing will work, and without destroying anything they'll need to get out of the museum clean when this is all over. "What if she likes being free?" Parker asks. "I like being free." "She's not really free, though. When Harry animated her bones, she was called here. Now she's stuck here, wandering the museum, never able to rest," Molly says. "Oh." Parker is still antsy beside him, like she can't decide if she should believe Molly or not. Hardison concentrates on keeping his hands and feet inside the circle at all times. It may not be a moving vehicle, but Hardison knows good advice when he hears it. Parker, now that he's thinking about it, has probably never heard that advice. Or if she had, she'd probably never considered following it before. He's considering whether or not to say something when she fidgets just a little too much and scuffs the chalk circle. That, of course, is when the roar crashes over them at an almost deafening volume. The T-Rex Job, Part 3. Hardison looks up and there, as real as any special effects he's ever seen, is Sue. She is smaller than he expected. Smaller than the CGI dinosaurs in Jurassic Park or the plastic animatronic replicas he saw as a kid. Still, she wouldn't even need to tear him into bits to eat him. No, Hardison is sure she could just swallow him whole if that were her goal. They're in between her and her bones, and he knows instinctively that this is the wrong place to be. Any protection that the circle might have provided is blown. Hardison doesn't even think about it. He grabs Parker with one hand and Molly with the other and dives out of the way of the oncoming dinosaur. Harry doesn't move. Sue doesn't pick up speed. She just walks straight towards Harry, massive claws clicking on the floor. Ghosts shouldn't click, Hardison thinks, but they can all hear her approach him. Harry stands his ground. It's time to go home, he says. Sue snorts, clawing at the ground in front of her. Hardison is surprised not to see marble flying. I brought you here on accident. I didn't mean to disturb your rest, but it's time to go back now, Harry says. Hardison is sure Sue is going to charge, which is why he is too slow to stop Parker from scrambling to her feet and joining Harry. Sue, Parker says, that's probably not the name your parents gave you, is it? I understand that. My parents didn't call me Parker either. Harry says this is your home now. Sue snorts again, but this time she cocks her head, as if she actually understands what Parker is saying. I know you're just protecting your home, but you can rest now. I'll make sure everything is safe, Parker says, punctuating her sentence with a nod. I promise. Harry is chanting under his breath again, whether it's his magic or Parker's words. Sue walks to her skeleton. She circles the exhibit once before hopping over the guardrail. Sue looks back over her shoulder once, nods slightly and then inhabits her bones. For a moment, she looks alive, solid, but it doesn't last. She fades into her skeleton, slowly receding from sight. And Hardison has an urge to salute her. Her eyes seem to twinkle at him. And then all that remains are the bones that have graced this hall for 10 years. Everyone okay? Harry asks, as Hardison and Molly pick themselves off the floor. We're all fine now, Parker replies, eyes still locked on Sue. Hardison knows that the Field Museum just became the safest place in the entire world. Parker keeps her promises, even to millennium-old ghosts. Especially to millennium-old ghosts.